Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Psalm 62, I'm reading from verse 5. David said, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold, I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rests. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God." He said, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Now, if we want to trust in men, he said in verse 9, we'll discover that men of low degree are only vanity, and men of rank, that is high-ranking people, are just a lie. He said, "In the balances they go up." Why? Because they are together lighter than breath. Therefore, he says, "Do not trust in oppression. Do not vainly hope in robbery. For if riches so gained by aggression, by oppression, by cheating, by robbery, if riches are gained like that," he said, "if they increase, do not set your heart upon them. However, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and loving kindness is thine, O Lord, for thou dost recompense a man according to his work." Now, this is the point we are trying to get here, talking about waiting for God. You know, we have been talking about waiting for God as part of talking about foundation for life. We have established a number of points. Let me quickly run through them for a few minutes. Number one, reading from the book of Luke, we have found out that trials and adversities will come in life. And the blessed man, the man who God's blessing is upon, is the one who is able to survive the time of adversity and the time of trial. He's not the one that never has trials. Sometimes those of us who have preached faith, we have thought that faith meant that we will never have trials or challenges in life. Faith just means that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. The man of faith can have challenges. The man of faith can have trials. But the man of real faith will come out through his challenges triumphant. He will go through the fire of Nebuchadnezzar and it will not burn him. Are you getting my point? Even though he loses everything like Job, it will be restored back to him double as long that he doesn't faint. So what we need to do is to lay a foundation for our lives. And that foundation we read from the book of Luke is laid by digging deep. Jesus said, "And how do we dig deep? We remove everything that's common. We remove the opinions of men." For example, if men say, "This is how you do business, you can make quick money." If it's not in agreement with what God is saying, what is God saying? God says, whatever you want other people to do to you, do the same to them. What you will not want anybody to do to you, if doing business, don't ever do it to anybody. If you don't want to be cheated, you don't cheat anybody. Those are some of the basic principles. He said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So this is, how can I give in this business that I am doing? He said, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." That is, if I want people to give to me, all right, as payment, all right, then what I must first think about is what I can give to them. What goods am I going to give to them that will bless them? What services am I going to give to them that will bless them? I must not be a fraudster. Now, so contrary to what everybody is saying, I take the words of Jesus and I act upon them. And when I've acted upon those words, Jesus said, "I am like the man who dug deep and therefore laid a foundation for his life upon the rock, so that when the challenges and the trials of life will come, I will stand solid. I may have the challenges, but I will never fall under them." Do you understand? And so we already established those things, and that God has a time for our word. There's a word that brought you to life. There is a word that God spoke, and that's what brought your flesh into being. He said, "The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." And that principle, though it was spoken specifically concerning Jesus in the book of John chapter 1, it's actually a general principle of life. When God speaks something, all right, it needs manifestation. So he said, "A body that has prepared for me." So we are saying that your life is a body prepared for the manifestation of a word that God has spoken. And our example we read from the book of Psalms 105 is Joseph. Joseph came into existence because God needed a man to send ahead of the nation of Israel into Egypt. And he said, until the time that his word, that word that brought him into existence, until the time that that word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord tested him. That is, you are being tried in waiting for the manifestation of your word. And that's why we've been talking about waiting for God. Now, so speaking about waiting for God, I said it's one of the most difficult things for people to do. And the number one key, all right, to being able to wait for that manifestation is for us to have our hope in God. Last time I began to speak about that. In Psalm 62, verse 5, David said, "My hope is from Him. I will not trust in men," he was saying, if you read verse 9, "because they are light. Anything they bring out by themselves into my life is light. Therefore, it will not survive. All right? Therefore, I will wait. And I said something last time, that the men that you want to walk, run after, when God pours his grace upon you like he did concerning David, the men that were formerly serving your enemies will come and serve you. Men who were serving Saul came to serve David. When God was going to establish David as king, all the elders of Israel and the armies of Israel, they gathered and said, this man will be our next king. Do you follow the point I am making? So don't worry about people. You worry about God. Say, God, what can I do to be found pleasing to you? Now listen to me. Once you have understood that God is in charge, that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men, and that he gives the kingdoms over to whomsoever he wishes, then your soul will be able to wait for God. David said, he only is my rock and my salvation. My stronghold, I shall not be shaken. I explained something last time that to be found in stability should be our primary concern. And there's something I want to say today about this waiting for God. How do I really wait for God? Let me share a particular principle with us, and it's going to help us a lot. This principle is also found in the book of Psalms. This time around, it's from Psalm 37. It's saying exactly the same thing. Well, something similar to what we just read in Psalm 62. But there are a few points here which I want to bring out. Talking about waiting for God. He said, do not fret, that's from verse 1, because of evildoers. And do not be envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like a grass. We've discussed that already. In verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. He said, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Please, I want you to listen to this carefully. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, he said, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. Now, please, I want you to notice something. It's still the same principle from that Psalm that we find in that Psalm 62. But I want to bring out the issue of exactly how to wait for God. Now, let me say something to you. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, it said, be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, the issue about patience is that it implies the fact that we have to wait. You understand? That's very obvious. Now, when you see the word patience in the scriptures, the Christian patience is not idle patience. The Christian waiting, that's what I want to say, is not idle waiting. It is not sitting down and doing nothing. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Then Jesus also talked, when he was teaching on this parable, on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, don't fret about tomorrow. He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The word I'm bringing out from there is that word day. He said, give us this day. We have a daily bread. He says, sufficient unto the day are the responsibilities and the dangers and the supplies to meet them thereof. Jesus was speaking. Now, please get the point. This is how you wait for God. You take one day at a time. And there's something that God is using that day for. If you see, I read something earlier in our last broadcast from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 9. He said, the Lord is not slow about his promise, but rather he is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The number of scriptures we need to tie together to bring out a very solid principle here. Don't forget what I said. When God is ready, all right, nobody can stop him. When God says you are ready, nobody can stop you. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The time will come which God will decide that this is the season to bring life out of your situation. This is the season to bring a manifestation of your word. Nothing at that point will be able to stop you. When the time came for the word that God spoke to Abraham concerning the birth of his son to come to pass, even though his wife Sarah was 89 years old, God said, by this time next year, she will give birth. At the age of 90, listen, that is not folktale, that is reality. She gave birth. Her age was not able to stop her. Do you follow the point I am making? When God is ready, your disadvantages will not be able to stop you. When God says you are ready, your lack of education will not be able to stop you. When the time comes for the release of that material product, for the release of that idea into manifestation, you want to manufacture, you want to create a company, you want to do something good, all right, on this earth. When that time comes, your lack of financial resources will not be able to stop you. Listen to me, just like the age of Sarah was not able to stop her from bearing. Even though everything looked funny and ridiculous, it couldn't stop her then because the time had come for the manifestation of the word. The Lord came physically into their home and said, according to the time of life, I will return to you, listen to me, and your wife will bear. And the following year, at the age of 90. Oh, no wonder the Bible says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Sometimes God does something for you, it will be as if it is a dream. A friend of mine gave me a testimony the other day of how God showered an abundance of blessing upon him. He was in financial distress when he got a call from a high place, and all these problems of his life were solved. They were begging him with things, begging him with blessing. He said, no, I have found out where I'm supposed to be, and that is where I will be. And the blessing kept on pouring. He said he will look sometimes and he will be laughing. That God, you are good. Listen to me, when God is ready, that's the word. Therefore, what are we supposed to do? So Peter was explaining that one to us here. He said, God is not slow. I said the other time that he hasn't forgotten you. He knows you are there. But what is he saying? He said, these are the issues. He said, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than men's ways. And a lot of people I want to bless, listen to me, they are using the ways of men. So what am I doing? I am waiting for them to be converted. That's what he calls repentance. I'm waiting for them to change their minds and begin to think the way I am thinking and begin to see life the way I see life. Until God converts you into his thought pattern, the time of his manifestation will be long. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's why he said a day is like 1,000 years with the Lord. 1,000 years is like a day. What it means is this. If I can convert you, all right, into the position where I want it to be in your heart in a day, then what it will have required 1,000 years to be done, I will do it in one day. But if it takes me 1,000 years to be able to get you to see life from my perspective, then it will take you 1,000 years of waiting before I come upon you with that breakthrough. Let me tell you as a practical example. Are you looking for a husband? Are you looking for a wife? Go and ask God, what is a wife? That thing is very important. That definition. A lot of people are saying, God, give me a wife, give me a wife. They don't understand. What they are saying, God, give me a maid that will look after my house and will have my children. Give me a maid. They are not ready to be open to. And look, if you are a child of God, if you are an unbeliever, forget it. But if anything can happen to you. But if you are a child of God, listen to me. And God wants the blessing to be poured upon you. He will keep you waiting until you really discover why he made Eve for Adam. Why Sarah was the wife of Abraham. What he meant when he said the two shall become one flesh. If your thoughts and ideas are still made out of the foundation of your village practices, then you have not yet dug deep and you will keep digging. Until you finally dig and get there, you're not ready to move. Are you following the point I'm making? So we read from Psalm 37. That's why I'm explaining all of these things. He said, trust in the Lord, listen to this, that's verse 3, and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Remember I said that Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. How do I wait for God? That's what I want to explain. God gives me an assignment for each day. And in that assignment, he's saying, go there and cultivate faithfulness. What does it mean to cultivate something? To plant it, to nurture it. To watch it grow. Do you understand my point? That is the principles of life that you have learned. I will give you a small place in which you are going to practice it. There are those who say, oh, I want to sponsor the work of the gospel. I want the work of God to move. God, that's why I want to give me plenty of money. God says, no problem. The first thing I will do for you is to give you a job that pays you 10,000 naira a month. Then you will cultivate the sponsorship of that gospel on 10,000 bucks a month. You will show me how you've learned how to take some for yourself and give some to those who are in need and sponsor the gospel with the little that I'm giving you. Listen to me. It's pleasing God we are talking about. He said, to whom much is given, much is expected. It is acceptable according to what a man has. So if you say, God, I want to sponsor the gospel all over the earth and I want to give me plenty of money, I want to be a billionaire for that sake, God said, no problem. I'm going to give you 10,000 naira a month as salary. Sponsor the gospel all over the secondary school behind your house. Listen, don't forget about sponsoring all over the earth. If I find you doing it, printing tracts, organizing small meetings, using a bit of your money to buy some things and inviting young people, all right, and teaching them, sharing them flyers, going there, giving them lessons on premarital sex, and telling them about righteousness, and telling them how to live holy, keeping their body unto the Lord, do that for the next 1 year, 2 years. If you do it consistently, then I will know you are ready for something. Don't fool me asking me for $1 billion so that you might sponsor TBN and Inspiration TV and have the gospel preached on satellite. He said, forget it. and you have a small village, with 5,000 naira, you can turn the place upside down with the preaching of the word of God. You haven't done it yet. How do we wait for God? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God gives us one opportunity every day to do good. He said in that Psalm 37 verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Are you seeing that? How do you wait for God? Every day, opportunities come for you to do that thing, all right, that you want to do in a big measure. God gives you the opportunity to do good. Because of how God has taught me over the years, I like to give some of my own experiences, all right, as examples. I wanted to preach the gospel. Do you follow my point? The first thing I did was I had small money. I took the money and I printed tracts. And I was sharing out the tracts free of charge. Do you follow what I'm going to explain? The tracts are still there. You can still download them from our website. We had 19 different titles of tracts. God cannot fail. Cheerful giver. Relax, God is in control. You know, all of them, different tracts. We printed tens of thousands of copies over time and shared them out. And those things were going out and blessing people. I used to get mails from people who read those tracts and were blessed and healed by them. A prayer for your healing was a powerful tract. It's still downloadable from our website. I wasn't preaching on radio. I was not preaching on TV. But the time came in which God said, yes, I want this voice heard over the airwaves. I want this face seen on TV. The time came. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Until that time came, a lot of people, you know, I talk with them sometimes. They think I'm new in Enugu. And I tell them I've been in Enugu for 8 years. They are surprised. Because they only heard of Pastor Banky last year. Do you understand my point? And I mean 8 years in which I've been doing the work of the gospel. What do most of us want? God give me a great open door. We want a big thing to explode suddenly. Listen to me. He said, wait for the Lord. What do you mean by wait? God says, I will give you something to do each day. You are believing God for a big business. God said, the first thing I do is give you a job. One of the principles I teach these days, which God helped me to understand, is that God did not prosper Jacob until Jacob had helped Laban to prosper. Did you hear what I said? Jacob ran from home and went to stay with his uncle, Laban. For 20 years, he was there laboring. And when he wanted to leave, Laban said, I have divined that God has blessed me on your account. Jacob testified that there was not anything that was missing, not one single goat, not one sheep, nothing was missing all the 20 years that he kept the flock of Laban. Is that nobody ever stole them? Oh, sometimes people did. He said, but from his own personal income, he replaced what people stole. It was that Jacob was so consistent and conscientious that Laban always prospered. And then the time came when he wanted to leave. God converted every cheat. Everything that Laban had cheated him out of, God gave it back to him. Every agreement that was made to calculate his wages, God made sure that supernatural events always turned them around in the favor of Jacob. What am I explaining? I know your boss is not paying very well. I know if you did this thing for yourself, you'll probably be making more money. And you are the reason why the office is doing very well. And the man doesn't want to reward you. Don't worry about that. Everything that you are doing, the Bible says that do it as if you are doing it unto the Lord. And in due season, God will give you your reward. So before you do that big business, the first thing that God gives you, all right, is a good job. And he says, keep busy. He said to the servants, occupy you till I come. Do business with this until I come. You see this job, do it well. Let your boss sleep well once you are in charge. Until I come back, that's what he says. That is a time will come in which I will return and I will pour my blessing upon you. But that time has not yet come. And until that time comes, what do? You wait. What is waiting? Waiting means to locate what I'm supposed to do today and to do it very well. You know, David said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Let me explain something to you. The principles you will use when you will become a governor, God said, use it now that you are a headmaster. Use it now that you are a secondary school teacher. Use it now that you are a lord over a business that employs only 5 people. Pay them regularly. Discuss their health with them. Arrange health insurance for them so that if they fall sick, they will not ruin your business. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? When people who are working for you are traveling, give them small insurance cover. Use good business sense to manage your business of only 5 employees. Do that daily. That is how you wait. You keep busy. I explained something to you last time that when Samuel anointed David king, David didn't run out to say, where are the kings? Let me mingle with them. No, he went back to doing his shepherd work very conscientiously. And that is how God brings blessing upon people. And that's how you wait for God. Waiting for God doesn't mean you are jobless, you are idle, you are crossing your leg, you are not doing anything. This is an experience I've had several times. And I've seen people, all right, I've heard about it. People are believing God for great breakthrough. I remember a man who used to hang around my cousin those days. And one day I called a cousin because she was a businesswoman and a lot of people used to hang around, you know, small jobs open here and there. And I said, why does this man not get a regular job and earn a decent pay like everybody else? And she said, I have spoken to him. I have offered to help him get a job. And he has said, no, he said that those ones don't pay much. That when the big money comes, if he gets a big contract, a big deal, the big money will suddenly come. Listen to me. At that point in time, he was about 40 years of age. The last time I saw him, which was many, many months or years after this discussion, he was still waiting for that big deal and it never came. I remember a man then who had a wife and children in his hometown and he was in Lagos. Every day scheming for how he would go to the UK. I don't know what he was planning to go and do there. I have said it again and again and have never been proven wrong that a failure in Nigeria is a failure everywhere. A thief in Nigeria becomes a thief in America and goes to jail in America. Do you understand my point? That's how some of your friends who went abroad, you never heard from them again. Some of them are in jail. They were dishonest here. Their dishonesty went with them across the border. And when they got there, unfortunately, that place is not Nigeria. You go and cross a big drug dealer in South Africa, he shoots you. I have found that, look, this man was there every day waiting for when the visa will open. Last I knew, he had been waiting for more than 5 years and the visa did not come. Those who were not waiting for the visas were doing their businesses, all right? And they became so wealthy that those countries gave them visas, you know, easily and they started traveling up and down. And they made all their money in the country in which he was waiting for the visa to go to another one. How do we wait for God? We identify what he gives us. Jesus emphasized that daily thing. He said, when you want to pray, don't even worry about that which is tomorrow. He said, pray like this. Give us this day our daily bread. That is the one that we require for today. If you are currently teaching in secondary school, he said, God, give me understanding of how to make all these children responsible. Let it be the goal of your life. As long as you are teaching here that all your students are successes. He said, give me understanding that I may help these people. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? You are a pastor of a small church. Listen, it is good to pray to God that your church will have 10,000 members. It's good. If that's what you desire, it's very good. The Bible says in that Psalm 37 verse 4, it said, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. As a matter of fact, if that's what you really desire, God will give it to you. Are you getting my point? But right now, how many people are in your church? There are 25. There are 10. There are 50. God said, listen, my friends, stop all this one of sitting down and meditating on 10,000 members. He said, delight yourself in the Lord and I will give you the desires of your heart. That is, I'm not saying meditate on 10,000 members and you will get the desires of your heart. I said, delight yourself. What does it mean to delight yourself in the Lord? I said it earlier. God gives you something for each day. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. That is, on these 10 members, most of them are still poor now, just managing here. I will teach them the word of God. Do you understand my point? Until prosperity comes out of their lives. These people, I will pray for them until God blesses them so much that they will reflect Jesus Christ everywhere they go. That is what we are talking about. You see, one of the things that excites me all the time, one of some of the young men that I teach the word of God come and announce that, Pastor, I'm getting married. I want to get married. This is a young woman. I always smile because for me, it's a sign of success. That this guy is not waiting till he has made 10 million naira like everybody else and built a big business and is making a lot of money before he decides to settle down. I said, that means the word of God that I'm teaching is affecting somebody's life. I am always very glad. When you young men who have taught go come to give testimony and say, sir, I used to have only 2 employees, now I have 15. And to them it's a testimony, I am excited. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. How do we wait for God? We locate what each day is given to us as an assignment. And like I said, you cultivate faithfulness. What do I mean? You learn, you practice honesty. Listen to me, if you cannot be honest in the matters of 10,000 naira, wait till they give you 1 billion, you will go mental. A lot of people who gather together, and these politicians are wicked. See, they will just chop money, 100 million naira. I laugh sometimes when I hear some of those things, because the people who are talking, lend them 200 naira, they can't pay back. Do you understand what I'm explaining? Lend them 1,000 naira. They don't know how to pay back.
okay, last month you did a business and you made 50,000 naira. That business, those who worked with you on that business, all right, you are supposed to pay them a total of 25,000. Have you paid them, or you suddenly realize that now you need 50,000? And they are phoning, you have switched off your phone. And you are criticizing the man who chopped 2 billion naira. You don't understand. He chopped 2 billion out of 50 billion that he saw. You have only seen 50,000 and you have chopped 25 out of it that was not your own. Listen to me. I said God is not slow concerning his promises. He's just waiting for you to rearrange your brain to the correct order. He said, don't come and embarrass me. In your small measure, I've made you a pastor. You cannot even preach an honest message without using it to raise money. And you want me to give you the open door to preach to the whole earth so that you will embarrass me with another scandal? He said, listen, my friend, dwell in that your small church and cultivate what? Faithfulness. Listen to me. Everything that God gives you every day, I wish we would see life like this, is an opportunity to cultivate faithfulness. You enter into student politics, is the opportunity to cultivate faithfulness. Listen to me, it is not the opportunity to get something great for yourself. It's your opportunity to cultivate faithfulness, to nurture your ability to be strong in the face of trials, in the face of temptations. It's your opportunity to cultivate faithfulness. And that is how you wait for God. Listen, waiting for God is not just hanging around, doing nothing. Waiting for God is to practice the skill that he has placed in your hand and use it to bless somebody. If you don't have a job, you are waiting for God. Don't wait for God on the bed at home. Oh my God, I wish you would understand what I'm trying to explain. Listen, I don't believe there's no job. The only thing that may not exist is high money return at the end of the month. But what is a job? I define the job. Please, if you were not there, then get the series, Creating the Opportunities for Prosperity. 18 different messages thereabout. I preached. I said, what is a job? A job is the opportunity that God gives me to positively bless the life of somebody. I tell preachers, open door, open door, open door. What do you call open door to preach? Are you looking for to go and preach somewhere and somebody will give you an honorarium of 100,000 naira? If that's not what you're looking for, then there are open doors everywhere. You have a friend who's starting a small church somewhere, go and preach for him. There are secondary school fellowships everywhere that are struggling. Go and meet them and be a father, a mother to them. That's what an open door is. Do you follow the point I'm making? That's how you wait for God. Please, let me say it again. He said, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. God will give you small things with which you will prove your resourcefulness. Small things with which you will prove your integrity. Let me just end this with this. If you go and read the book of Luke chapter 19, the story we all know is this parable of the minas. That is the money that the Lord gave to his servants. He gave them 10 of them. He said, do business with this until I come back. That's that Luke chapter 19, verse 13. And now listen to this. Because of our time, I can't read everything. Each one of them did business. One multiplied his money 10 times. And he said to the master in Luke chapter 19, verse 16. He said, your mina has made 10 minas more. And the master said, you have been a faithful slave, a good slave. He said, you have been faithful in a very little thing, being authority over 10 cities. And he said the same thing to the guy who made it fivefold. What am I trying to bring out here? When he was giving them money, it was small. He said, just go and do business with money. Let me see what you can handle. What he did not tell them was that I'm going to use that to be a judge of how many cities, because I'm going to receive a kingdom. I want to use that ability, all right, or for handling money as a yardstick for measuring the number of cities you will be able to administer. And I'm telling you again today that the time of your manifestation is when this Lord will have come back. And when he comes back and he wants to hand over kingdoms to you, the first question he asks you is that, the mina I gave you, show me what you have done with it. Friends, how do I wait for God? Daily, I do the duty that he has committed into my hands. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.